really cute. Okay. God is good all the time. I want to share with you about one man's walk. It's called One Man's Walk. And if you'd like to turn to John 4, starting at verse 46, give me an oi when you're there. Oh, I knew Peter'd be there first. We missed you last week. Oi. Anybody, everybody else there? Okay. All right, I'm going to start reading from verse 46. Therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. Amen? There's so much in that story. I listened to this story so many times, and God ministered to me so much out of this, and I think with Les too, a lot of the Gospels, a lot about when Jesus walked and what his ministry was all about. One of the first things, I said just briefly, who was this guy? This guy was a man of position. He was a man of influence, of wealth. He was a royal official. Who was Jesus? He came to Jesus. Who was he? He was just a carpenter's son. He didn't go to Bible college. He wasn't approved by the doctors of the law. He didn't care. This guy, is it amazing when you're desperate, you don't care? It's amazing how many people are atheists until they're about to die and then they want to know where God is. So this man was an official and probably wouldn't mix with the likes of Jesus normally. But he'd heard some stuff about Jesus, amen? And his son was on the verge of death. And he implored, the Bible says he implored Jesus. And if you look it up, implored means to beg or ask earnestly, to plead with or to beseech. This man was not used to begging. He was not used to coming to someone and saying, "Hey," especially someone who probably was not in the same class in that time. So it's interesting again what you'll do. So what was happening there? This man was displaying humility. Humility is acknowledging the truth. You know, it's really good to be humble because pride will always be a wall between you and God. We need to be really careful that we don't get prideful. And sometimes you don't realize you're prideful until you're in a situation. He tracked Jesus down, you know, because I reckon he'd heard some stuff. He'd obviously heard some stuff about him. He'd heard that he was this guy that was walking around and he was performing miracles and people were getting saved, people were getting healed, people were being raised from the dead. So he would have been hearing all this going on. You know, this guy didn't just live around the corner. He lived probably 15, 20 miles away. It's a long way. And so he set out to go and find Jesus because he was in need of a miracle. Amen? You know, he implored Jesus to come. He said, "My son is about to die." I guess any of us that were in that situation can understand that, couldn't we? If we thought someone had a cure, you know, you think yourself, wow, you know, please. But it was really interesting what Jesus did. You know, he said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Don't you think that sometimes, you know, I sort of thought, well, that sounds a little harsh. This guy's kids, you know, he's dying. But see, Jesus said that for this guy's sake. This guy had to come to a place. He had to come to a place because his faith wasn't where it needed to be. There needed to be some changes happen for him. So why did he say that? He said that because the guy wouldn't be able to receive until some things changed on the inside. You know, he said, unless you see signs and wonders. And, you know, you put yourself in that place, and I think there's a few of us here that have been in that place. And some of the things I know that he was trying to do, and he did with us also, is we don't tell the Lord what to do. You know, that's a really good lesson to learn. Don't tell him what to do. And don't tell him how to do it. Don't tell him how to meet your needs. We don't tell him how to do things, period. That's just not good. I tried that. Doesn't work. It's not good. What you need to do is to believe him. You need to believe he will do it, and then you need to seek him and ask him how he will do it. What does he want you to do in that situation? Too many of us say no. Lord, I want it this way, or I want it that way, or do it this way, and I need that, and I can't go through this person, and I need it done here, and I need it, you know. We start telling him how we want it. What you're doing is cutting yourself off the knees. As soon as you do that, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss what God has for you. You're going to miss what he wants to do to you or through you. It's not time when you have a need so great, or any need, to sit back and tell him how you want to see this done and how he should do it and who he should do it through. It's time to say, okay, what do I need to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? You have to do what God is saying to you. He deals with each of us individually. He knows where our faith is at. We're all at different places in our faith walk. None of us are all at the same place. But you know what? Sometimes we think we are. Sometimes we think we have, our faith is more developed than what it is. And you know, that can be a really dangerous place to be in. You need to seek God because he knows exactly what you can believe for and what you can't. And sometimes it's not until we get into a position that we realize that we haven't got our faith going to where we think it was. I want to share a couple of stories to bring that point about. And Keith Moore shared them, and I've listened to them over and over. And there was one story it involves two people. And there was a man, and he'd been going to Keith Moore's church for a long time, and he was friends with Keith Moore and stuff. And he was a godly man, a man of faith, and he'd had heart trouble for quite a few years. And anyway, it was getting not good, and they wanted to operate on him and do heart surgery. Anyway, he went to Keith Moore and he said, I know that God has spoken to me and has told me not to go and have surgery. And Keith Moore says, well, you know, if you believe that that's what God said, then you need to listen to that and believe him. He knows what he's doing. And the guy said, yeah, but I'm under a lot of pressure from my wife and my family and my kids, you know, and my grandkids, that I should go and have this operation. And he said, but I know, Keith, if I do that, I'm going to die. And Keith said, well, you need to do what God's told you to do. Long short of the story was, he did. He caved into the pressure of others and what others were telling him and what doctors had been saying to him, and he went and had the surgery. And he died on the table. When God speaks to you, God doesn't speak to you just for something to do. He's speaking to you because he wants you to do something or not do something. He knows the end from the beginning. You need, even, doesn't matter what's coming against you. If you know in your heart that God has spoken to you, then you need to do what he tells you to do. Now, there's the same preacher, St. Keith Moore, in another instance, was a lady. And the doctors had told her that she needed surgery. And it was really imperative that she went and had this surgery. Anyway, she told Keith Moore, she said, no, I'm not going to go and have that surgery. I believe God will heal me. I believe I'm going to be fine. And anyway, the church service finished and she was ready walking out the door to go home. And Keith Moore's wife had a witness in her heart to go and speak to this lady. And so she went up and said, look, are you sure that this is what God has said to you? Are you sure that you're not meant to have this surgery? And she said, you need to go and just talk to God again and make sure that you are hearing right. Anyway, she went and talked to God and decided she would go to and have that surgery. And the doctor said to her that if she had have left it, she would have been dead within days. So Keith Moore had a check and a witness, praise God. But see, that lady thought her faith was somewhere where it wasn't. And you have to be careful of that. You have to know in your heart where you are at. Where is your faith? You know, you don't want to just say you've got faith to look impressive because that could cost you your life. You need to know. And I guess the other thing that comes from all of that is that he deals with us all very differently, doesn't he? It's not one shoe fits everybody. He'll deal with us where we're at and how we're at and with what we need. And we need to make sure that we're attentive to what he's saying to us in any given situation. Do I hear an amen? We can think we know where we are, you know, but we're not. You know, when you're in a really, really dire situation, whether it's life and death, do you know who you're going to meet? Does anybody know who you're going to meet along that road? You're going to meet yourself. You're going to meet the real you. The real you comes out. And sometimes you'll be surprised about who you really are and what you really believe. When you've really got your back up against the wall and you've got nowhere else to go and you're believing God, it's amazing. Your true self really presents themselves. And it's a very interesting person sometimes who we meet. I met me. Oh, wow. Yeah. So we will meet. How do we know? How do we get to a place where we're going to know what God is saying to us? So, well, that's all well and good, but, you know, gee, that's tough. It could cost you your life. It could be this. I may lose my house. I may lose my money. How do I know? And God's talking to me. How do I know? If you're using your faith or you're living by faith, which the Bible says we should do, then there's different things that you need to do to develop your faith. You know, and it's not a matter of walking in religiosity. It's a matter of God's done his part, but then we do have a part to play. There are things that we need to learn. There are things that we need to be able to put into practice. Amen? We need to be reading his word. We need to be meditating his word, thinking about it. Why? Is it going to help God? I don't think so. It's going to help us. It's going to help us. When you're in a relationship with someone, how do you know them? How do you know what food they like? How do you know what socks they wear? How do you know their little habits? How do you know if I know that if I'm walking, if we've gone shopping and, you know, like Les goes one way and I go the other in the supermarket, and if he calls me, I hear him. What do you want? And vice versa. Because I've been in a relationship with him for a long time, I know him, I know his voice. Reading the word, meditating on the word, that you're developing a relationship with God. You begin to hear his voice more clearly. You'll know in your heart, okay, God, you're talking to me here. It's just like us. It's a relationship thing. And if you're not in a relationship with God, how are you going to hear him? He speaks through his word. He speaks through this book. He speaks through the Holy Spirit too. But the Holy Spirit only speaks what the word says. You know, so you need to be in a relationship. It's a relationship that will develop, amen, over time. You'll learn to be prompted more readily by the Holy Spirit. It'll change the way you think. You know, it really change. If you change the way you think, you'll change what you believe. Because different things, the right things will start coming out of your mouth. When you're believing God for something, you won't listen to your emotions or your mind, because your mind will be renewed as you spend time with him. There's so many incidences where different people, you know, like, I remember when I was sick, and during that time that I was sick, and I was really sick, I wasn't even going to church anymore at that particular time because I just couldn't get up. And there was a great man of God that, during that time that we knew and had known, not overly well, but we know, and he died. Oh, that really rocked me, because this was this great man of God. He was a faith man. He'd been fighting a long battle. And my emotions really got a hold of me, and I thought, oh, I'm stuffed. If this guy can't do it, I am stuffed. And God said, we're not talking about him, I'm talking to you. You do what I tell you to do. You listen, you keep listening. We can't base our faith on what's going on with someone else. We can only base our faith on what God is talking to us about, because that's what we need. But if we let our mind wander to what's going on with someone else, then you're not going to start thinking good things. There was this guy that was in hospital, and he was very, very ill. He's with Keith Moore, and he was in hospital, and they'd only given him weeks to live, if that. And Keith Moore didn't know him personally, but he'd heard about him from a friend, and he prayed about it, and he felt to go into hospital and visit this guy. And he went in, and this guy, he was ready to die. He was a Christian, but he was not in a good way. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Keith, and he said, he hasn't got the faith to tell him, you know, believe me and get up out of the bed. Now, this guy wasn't anywhere close to being like that. So as Keith was praying in the Spirit, he said to this guy, he said, well, can you believe that you're not going to get any worse? And the guy just nodded. He said, yeah, I can believe that. He said, so I want you to keep saying you're not going to get any worse. And so he went home, and he came back, and the next day, and the guy hadn't got any worse. And so he said, how did you go? He goes, didn't get any worse. That started activating that seed of faith in his heart. It took just that to start activating his faith. I didn't get any worse. So Keith said to him, so can you believe that you're going to start to feel a little bit better? And he nodded his head and he said, yep. And so Keith went away, and he came back, and the guy was smiling, and he said, I'm feeling a bit better. See, what was this doing? He was stirring up his faith. This guy was starting to run his own race now. He was starting to see how this works, and he was getting a hold of it. Anyway, the short version was Keith couldn't go back anymore, but he did give him instruction and different things to say, and he was gone for a couple of weeks, I think, and he came back, and this friend said, did you know that they released this guy from hospital within a week? How good is that? But see, we're all at different places. And we have to go where we were. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would rather start with that and live than start thinking I'm this holy preacher or holy walker, holy roller that's going to die because I've got nothing in my heart. You need the substance of faith to be activated in your own heart, and you walk with that and allow it to grow. And that's how you get it. That's what makes the thing. That's what makes the difference. You'll talk it because you'll believe it, and you won't settle for anything less. So it's imperative that we get into the Word, we get to know God, we build our relationship, and it becomes stronger and stronger. Amen? Amen. Is God good?
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't always have to be a life-threatening thing. It can be, it's really good to practice with little things. There was this other guy, and he was starting to feel really ill and just unwell, but not like deathbed type of thing, but he wasn't good, and he was feeling worn out and tired all the time. And again, he was a Christian and a man of faith, and he went to bed, and God woke him up, and he said, "You need to put more salt in your food." And the guy said, "What?" He goes, "Oh." Anyway, so he went and he thought, "Oh, okay." Couldn't see in his mind how that would make any difference. So he started putting salt in his food. And within a week, he was back to feeling good. He was back to normal. See, God, it's amazing what God will say to you. But see, it's having that relationship and meditating in His Word and doing what He tells you to do in your situation. He's not going to tell you what to do in your situation, what I need to do. He's not going to tell me what you need to do. We're all going to be at different places. So I guess it's really, really important. What I'm trying to say is we're all individual. He wants us all to use our faith, and we're all in different places in our faith, and we all have a different road in faith, but it's still faith. Amen? You can't possibly know this unless you spend quality time, not fleeting time. It's no good just opening the Bible every now and then and saying, "God, I need a word." You know, there's a story about someone who did that, where they needed a word from God, so they'd flip their Bible over, and it came to a place in the Bible that he flipped, and it said, "Go hang yourself." And he shut it really quick, and he said, "Oh, no, that wasn't for me, God." So he opened it and flipped it open, and again, he said, "Go do whatever you do, do it as quickly as possible." So it's no good just, I mean, God can do that, but it's really not living by faith. I wouldn't be too moved by doing that. You know, you need to be able to get into the Word. You need to understand the Word. And that takes time and development, just like it does in any other relationship. Hallelujah. I guess, you know, everybody knows where Jesus turned the water into wine. I think one of the most profound and simple scriptures in the whole Bible is where Mary says to the guys, "Just go do what he tells you to do. Whatever he tells you to do, do it." You know, how different would our life be? How different would it be if we did that? You know, that's one thing, one key there. The other one is, aren't mums smart? Hey, mums are very smart people. Others are smart too, not just mums. But, you know, it's so simple. It's just so simple. But it's true. If we were all to, when we know God spoke to us, if we would just go do what he says. That's another message. Verse 47 says, God begged Jesus. Was this man's faith in a position to receive? No. Why? Because he wanted Jesus to go with him, maybe to pray, to lay hands on his son. He wanted to see and believe that his son was healed. Is this faith? It's not faith. But it's a place where a lot of people are operating from. When are you going to believe you're healed? If you are seeing, then it's too late. You're not in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not yet seen. If you're seeing and feeling, you can't be in faith. You're in faith when as yet you don't see it and you don't feel it. So which comes first? Seeing or believing comes first? The seeing is the fruit of the believing. This is no good waiting to see it. If you've seen it, what faith is that? It's not. Faith is when you don't see anything. You don't have a clue where the money's from. You don't have a clue how your body is going to be healthy and whole again. That's faith. When on the outside you see absolutely nothing. But you see, if you're spending time with God and you get that anchor and your house is built on solid ground, I remember just sharing a little bit of my own experience that after the doctors left me, after telling me that I was going to die, we took communion. He went and got some biscuit and some water, and I had a bit of a cry at first, and then regathered and we took communion, you know, and it just brought up, re-established all the things that we'd been learning and all the things that God had been speaking to me leading up to this particular time. And it clicked, you know, like something in my spirit just clicked, and I went, yep. Because during that time that I was sick, God had come and visited me in such a way that I'd never been experienced before then. I have since. But he was so, so with me on this journey. And so it was just sort of that communion triggered everything that God had been teaching me during that time. But you know what? When I say that, people think, what, did I jump out of bed? Did this tumor just disappear? And no, it didn't happen. I was very sick. And I was in a lot of pain. And my body was screaming at me. My body was telling me it was gone. It was dead. Every breath I took in the natural, I thought if I listened to my body, it would be my last. But you know, and if I listened to everyone else that came and saw me, it would have been that way. But everything that God had been talking to me had risen up, and I was in my heart, there was just this, I don't know, how do you put it? There was just this confidence, it was this knowing, you know, this knowing inside, nah, this isn't it. This is not how it's going to end. This is not what you have said to me for 6 months. And the words that he gave me in particular would rise up in my heart, and I said, nah. And Les and I both was not, this is not the way it is. But nothing happened immediately. But things started to change on the outward, but not on the outward of my body. It started to change when it was like, there's no chance we're even going to look at having an operation. We're just calling palliative care, and that's your story, kiddo. It went from that to, okay, look, we're going to get someone to have a look at this, and then on and on, and then, okay, well, we may be able to give this a go. You might die on the table, but that's okay. Maybe we'll give it a go anyway. And if you wake up, you may be missing some of your organs, and you probably have to have radiation. You probably have to have chemo. Now, I was getting fed this every day. Nothing was changing in my body. You know, the reports were all really bad. But what was the difference? Why is what I said before, you need to know what you know. If you don't know what you know, you got nothing to come against anything like that. You will cave. You're human. You will cave. Because your emotions and your body will be telling you so many different things, fighting, unless you know what you know. Is that right, Pete? It is imperative. I can't stress to you how imperative it is for you to know without a doubt in your heart what Jesus says, what he said to you. What's the first thing you should learn? There's so many things. Would you know what you need to know? What's the very first thing you need to know? It's that it's God's will for you to be well, regardless. But if you don't know that, how are you going to stand in times like that? Because your emotion will say, I'm not good enough. Well, why is this happening to me? Maybe God did change his mind. You will question. You need to know without a doubt that doesn't matter if you're good or you're bad or you're lazy or you're not or you're bad-tempered or you're not or you're sulky or you're not. It doesn't matter. It's God's will for you to be healed every single day. Every day. It's God's will for you, regardless of what you do at work, regardless of what you've said to your spouse. It doesn't matter. That doesn't change what the Word says about you and me. It doesn't change the fact that he went to the cross so you didn't have to die. It's imperative that you know and are grounded and know what direction you need to go in. Because all hell will come against you and tell you differently. Do you think when you stand on God's word or something that he has given you, that the devil's going to say, well, there you go. He'll fight you. And you know where he'll fight you? Right here. That's the battleground. You need to know here. Because when that devil comes and you can say, you get off me, you have no place in me. And you can say it with authority because that's what will rise out of your belly. And that's what I would do. I would say, nah. The doctors would come to me and they would say, this is this and this and this. And I'd go, no, that's not going to happen. And they would look at each other. They would look at each other and think, this woman's in denial. Or they would look at each other and think, she's lost it. But I would make a point of saying to them, that is not going to happen to me. Because God told me it wasn't going to happen to me. So it was so deep in my heart that I didn't care what they told me. I didn't care who they were. And praise God, they were wonderful. And I still love them. They were so good to me. But their word wasn't my final authority. Don't let it be yours. Do not let it be yours. They do their best. But God knows the beginning from the end. Amen? One of the keys of faith. When are you going to believe that it's done? Jesus said in Mark 11, whatever things you desire when you pray, do what? Do what? Amen. When do you have them? After you believe and do you receive? When do you believe you receive them? Before you have them. Christians all over the world are begging God to be healed, for their finances to be changed. When are you going to believe it? When are you going to believe that your financial situation is changed? When are you going to believe he has heard you? Through this man, though this man had faith, it wasn't complete. He was pleading with Jesus, and Jesus still didn't go. You can't go day after day bumping into him, hoping that he's hearing you and begging. He's done it. What is he going to move on when he's already done it? If we're begging him and asking him for something that he's already paid the price for and that is ours, we have to learn how to receive it. And then it'll manifest itself. God is good all the time. What did Jesus do? He gave him a word. He said, go. He said, go, your son lives. Go. To me, this is one of the key turning points in this whole story is when he said, go, your son lives. Why? Because he had to make a really big decision, that nobleman. He'd only heard about Jesus, but Jesus said all this stuff. But then he said, you go, your son lives. His son lived on the prefect of whatever that nobleman was going to do. Right there and then was whether it was or whether it was going to be in the book. And that was when he turned and started to walk down the road. That was it. He didn't stay or go and say, well, I can't do that. You need to come. I reckon if he had done that, that's it. But he didn't. He listened to the word of God. He said, when he said, you go, your son lives, go home. And the guy turned around and said, oh, go on. Start walking. Like this probably, oh, crap. I'm going. He told me to go. I'm just going. That was a turning point for him. That was whether his son lived or died. It was right there. He made the right decision. Amen. Why did he go? In the natural, he had nothing to believe. He had no reason to believe that his son, anything had changed. He hasn't seen anything. He hadn't heard anything. He had no physical evidence to believe that his son was going to live or be okay. What did he have? All he had was the word of God. That's all he had. There was nothing else that was specifying that his son had changed in any way. For all he knew, he could have been dead. What did he do? What did this say about this man when he walked? He was saying, I trust what you have said to me. That's what he said. By him turning around and walking home, he put his trust in what he said to him. This is what will open the door for your miracles. Is to do what he says when he tells you to do it, regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel. It's not when you say you believe something, but it's when you act on it. It's when you put your faith in his word that he's given to you. And he will give you a word. He's not going to just be hairy fairy and like you've got to guess what he's saying to you. God's not like that. If he wants you to do something, you will know it if you know his voice. And he says in his word, all his sheep know his voice. You just get to know it more and more as you walk with him and as you meditate and talk to him. Amen. You know, what was I saying? It's not just when you say something that you believe, it's when you act on it, put your faith in it. You know, you see people, and you've probably heard about it too, where there's so many people in third world countries that are experiencing miracles. They're being healed, they're being blind eyes opened and cripples walking and everything. You know, God shows up. But you know what? A lot of these people walk 3 days to get to a meeting and 3 days home again or even longer. You think God's not going to show up? You think God's not going to show up when people do that? You know, and we have people here in the Western world that have difficulty getting up and coming to church. Or if they've got a cold, won't come to church. You know, if you're crooked, you should be at church. No, you don't need to come to church to get healed. God can heal you at home. But it's an action of your faith. Isn't it? As I don't care. I mean, if you're a crook and it keeps you away from church, do you think the devil's going to keep letting you get better if it's keeping you away? I don't think so. You'll find you keep having that flaming headache or that cold that just seems to keep reoccurring on a Sunday. Act on it. I don't care what you do to me, devil. That ain't going to stop me. So many times people have done that, walked to the door and been healed. Headaches gone, colds disappeared. Yeah, God will show up if you take the step. Amen? This man didn't live down the road. He didn't live around the corner. He lived like 15, maybe 20 k's away. He didn't have a phone. He didn't have a doctor's report. Well, he did, but he didn't have one that said that he was getting better. He couldn't text and see how his son was doing on the way home. Mind you, that would have been such a long way, such a long walk. 15 miles of casting down imaginations, 15 miles of ignoring fearful thoughts. You know, the devil hasn't changed. He's still the same, and he'll still do that. This guy would have been walking probably quite a few days, and he would have had to been casting down what that... You've done it. You didn't let him come with you. He didn't come with you. You're what you think. You came without that preacher. You didn't make him come with you. And now your son's going to be dead when you get back. What are you? And then that would have been going wild. He would have had to cast that down. Because I reckon if he couldn't cast down those imaginations and the devil's whispers, he would have turned around and probably gone back and said, Jesus, please come. But he didn't. And I believe it's because he cast him down. So I'm just going. He told me to go. I'm believing what he said. He said he lives. I'm walking. And he did. And the slaves came and met him and said, your son lives. Amen? Wow, what a walk. That road was the road to victory. We all have a road to travel. Whether it's victorious or not, it's really up to us, not up to God. Amen? If you've been in a place, you don't have to be in a place of dying, you don't have to be in a place of, but when you're in a bad place, you know, the devil's going to whisper to you. He's going to tell you stuff. Everything still looks bad. Everything still feels bad. You have no idea how it's going to change or what's going to take to keep it changed. But you just keep walking. Keep walking down the road. And the devil can be on your back pretty much the whole time. But there's an anchor inside of you. Isn't there, Pete? Amen. I believe if he had turned around, his son would have probably died and this story would not be in the book. You can't go back and forth. You can't waver. We can't be in a position where we're all good if the doctor's report is good. And then we think our faith is on top of it. But then you go back next time and maybe it's not so good. And then you panic. And then you're a mess. It's because we're basing things on what reports say and that your emotions are saying. And that has nothing to do with your faith. If it's faith, then you're not moved by either reports, the good reports or the bad reports. Amen? It doesn't matter what the report is. You walk through the fear, refusing the negative whispers, looking within and not around you. It's a long road. You keep walking and it becomes the road of victory. When are you going to believe you're healed? When are you going to believe you've got your miracle? What's it going to take for you to believe it? When are you going to receive it? When is it yours? Do you have it? The report for you is 2,000 years old. It is the first and only report that you need. This is what you should be established in. Everything else is by the way. You need to take account of that. That was done 2,000 years ago. You have to have it so rooted in your belly that doesn't matter what's coming at you, you know what God said to you about any given situation that you're in, big or small. And I'll just finish up with a story about myself. And over time this last year, I've had some reports about cancer markers being up and I've been seeking God. I knew that I was okay and we were standing and believing it. And anyway, my third year back was this year, which was my last year for a checkup, and I'd been seeing my GP in between and she was getting really concerned because these markers were going up. And I was fine and I'd sought God and I know Les had sought God and we had a real peace that everything was all right. God had given me another word as clear as day. It was so clear and it was... And I've just been standing on that. So we just got on with life and kept doing what we needed to do. And anyway, I went back for my third year checkup and didn't hear back from them. And I knew that everything was all right. I had to have another CT scan. And I had that CT scan. And I saw my actual surgeons. And they said, oh, look, they could be up for a number of reasons. And... you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's cancer, but we want you to go and have a CT scan again just to back up that it's nothing. So we went in obedience just to do that, but we knew that everything was all right, but we did go and have that CT scan because I believe that's what God wanted me to do. So I went and had it, and I didn't hear back from the martyr, and so we knew that, well, we knew it was all right anyway, but we believe that that just confirmed what we already knew. And then probably, what, a week later, got a call from our local GP, my local GP, who said to me, look, the martyr have let me know that everything in you, where, you know, you had the cancer, is all good. And I just smiled, yeah, I knew that. And she said, but they do have a concern. And I said, oh, why didn't they tell me? And it's not in their field. So what had happened was, she said, you have consolidation on your right lung. I said, oh, really? Because I felt as well good as I was good. God had not said to me that there was a problem. And I said, okay. Anyway, so she listened to my lung and she said, no, there's something there. She said, what I need you to do is sign a piece of paper to give me authority to get the result, all the results in, and the scans of the CT scan that you had. And they've only given me the bottom line. She said, but I want to see the whole report, but I need you just to sign something. So I said, oh, okay. So I signed the paper and she said, it'd probably take me a week or so to get the results of that. I said, no, that's cool. Yeah, Eliza and I just kept going with life. We weren't concerned. I had a word from God. I knew my body. I knew what God had said to me, regardless of what I was feeling, but I was feeling well. But I just said, well, Lord, you know, what's going on with this? You know, he says, you're cool. Everything's good. I said, okay. Anyway, I think it was the next day, wasn't it, that she rang? It wasn't even her office, man. It was her. This was 6 weeks ago. About 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. And she goes, I've got the results, the full results from the MARTA about the consolidation on your lung. I said, okay. And she said, they've said, it says that you've got chronic pneumonia. And she's laughing. And I started laughing. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah. I said, really? And she's still laughing. I said, okay. And she said, you got no symptoms. I said, no. And she said, laughing. And because I'd only seen her the week before, she said, look, she said, what I'm going to do is I want you in a couple of months to go back and have another CT scan. She said, I don't believe there's anything wrong. You've got no symptoms of anything, but we'll just get another CT scan. I said, okay. But I know I will go and get it just to please her, but she's convinced. She doesn't understand why I'm well. I know why I'm well, because nothing will touch me. That's what I believe. And I don't care what is on my lung. It won't touch me, and it hasn't touched me, and it will go, whatever it is. But if you think I look chronically ill, please come and lay hands on me now. Because I'm supposed to be chronically ill. God is good. You have to know what he's saying to you. You have to know he wants you well. You have to know how to stay well. Because he wants you well. When are you going to believe? When are you going to walk down the road on a word that he gives you? When are you going to believe that his life lives within you? When are you going to believe that you have it? You don't have to have. I'm not going to be shaken by doctors' reports. I don't care what they say to me, because I know what God said to me. Now, does that mean I'm going to be flippant and I don't appreciate it? No. I will do what God tells me to do and do what she tells me to do within reason. There are things that she tells me to do that I don't do. But that doesn't mean you should do that. You have to go back to when I first started preaching, and every individual is different and everybody's faith is at a different level. Amen? Now, I have to stay on top of this too. I have to keep activating my faith, and I have to keep saying, thank you, Lord, for the word you gave me. I am clean and nothing by any means will come near me or hurt me. I thank you, Lord, that my body rests and there's no contamination in it. See, that's the difference. That's when you know you're walking in the Word of God, is because it's not just the Word of God. It comes out in so many different forms. It'll be, I'm well, I'm healed, I'm whole. I thank you, Lord. I feel great. I am great because your Word tells me I am. Know the Word. Know Jesus. And watch what rises up from within you. And then no one and nothing will move you. When are you going to believe? Walk your journey. Walk it in Him. Have the victory because it's yours. In that I'm closing. Be blessed. Talk to God. Activate the faith. Use it where you're at. Because God wants you to have the victory. It's yours. You just got to know it. God bless everyone.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.